Welcome to the Teacher's Lounge, your place for education news brought to you by real educators. And now, Rachel Giannini and Garrett Wilhelm.
So sorry, friends, you caught me getting my groove on. So here's the thing. If you maybe we were walking down the hall on your way to your classroom to pick up those few extra items that you left, or perhaps you were at camp and you decided, I'm just going to take a break from the kiddos for a moment, and you walked in and you smelled that smell, the distinct smell of slightly burnt coffee, old coffee, and it smelled familiar. It smelled like the teacher's lounge. Welcome to summer edition numero uno and our fancy new song and our fancy new intro. And of course, our fancy Garrett Wilhelm. Garrett, get out here.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Coming to you live from my guest room. Because normally I have a little bit more of a nice little thing going on, but my current school that I'm building is a wreck. There's smoke, there's dust, there's concrete. It's crazy. But yes, as Rachel said, welcome to the Teacher's Lounge, Summer Edition, Episode 1. Kind of threw that new intro out there.
I like
reason
it.
Being, the other intro, didn't know the music was copyrighted. We got our video pulled down from Facebook. Not cool, but respect as a former musician. Well, current musician.
Current musician. Don't do that
yeah,
to yourself.
Always a musician. Yeah, we got in a little trouble, and that's okay. Sometimes as a teacher, you have to break the rules. Am I right?
It's better to ask for forgiveness sometimes. Just
Amen,
saying.
Rachel.
That's
so, Rachel.
Yes.
Tell me, first of all, I want to boost your bubble. I want to boost your bubble. That's the new thing. You don't ever burst bubbles anymore. We boost them.
What are we boosting?
Positive bursting of a bubble is a boost. Anyway. So what I'm trying to say is, Rachel, you went to Salt Lake City last week and you did this huge presentation.
I did. I did a big presentation. And I called no-showed into work.
Oh, whatever. I did not bring that up for you to call that out, but thank you. That was very kind. Anyway, moving on from that, tell our viewers a little bit about that experience before we get going.
It's kind of neat for all those who do not know. FYI, this kind of also goes into the whole Patreon thing because my other job is I do professional development.
What?
And I know, bonkers. And part of that is including keynotes. And I was in Salt Lake City for my first in-person keynote in a year and a half. And it was with the International Kiwanis. It was about 1,500 folks.
So people from Kiwi?
Yes, all the Kiwinians were there.
Yes, the Kiwinians.
I have to tell you, it was incredible. The audience was great. The Kiwanis are amazing. And it was just like massive shout out to all my Kiwanis fans who we all became awesomely cool. So it was a good time.
I'm so happy.
I'm happy for you too.
And it was Rachel's return to human presentation, human to human.
It was bonkers. It was great. It was great. Back at ya. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, awesome. So as Rachel mentioned, we are on Apple Podcasts. We're on all the podcasts. We're on Spotify Podcasts. We're on Podcasts. We're on Micro Machines Podcast, which is why I'm talking so fast because I'm referencing the guy that talked fast in Micro Machines because I'm from the 80s. Moving on. Whew, are we ready to get into the news?
Let's do the news and let's take a deep breath together.
All right, here we go. I feel good. Do you guys feel good out there? Good. All right, so here we go in my first story. You know, COVID caused a ton of damage, not only to our health, but our mental health. And more importantly, what's the most important in all of this, it damaged our future. And how did it do that? Well, through our students. And they've done a ton of studies now. You know, I remember Rachel saying in one of our very first episodes during the pandemic about what would be really interesting months from now when we're able to actually, you know, understand some data, process it. And what was interesting was that the most affected area was science. And you start thinking about, they did a broad study. I was reading an article in Education Week where they did a broad study across the United States of multiple ages from first grade all the way through 12th grade. And they found that overall in you know, first through fourth, then fourth through eighth, and ninth through 12th, that each of these age groups showed dramatic decline in science specifically. The competency of students across the nation in science declined significantly. And it's a very interesting subject to bring up, you would think. And, you know, as I'm going to bring Rachel up, but as we were, you know, I was looking for stories and things, it really stuck out to me because of all things, science is very hands-on. What do you think?
No, it's funny. As you were talking, well, one, science is my, like, the most favorite topic. And I'm thinking, like, well, that makes a lot of sense. Because one, it's hands-on. It's also really expensive. And when you get into chemistry and you get into biology, there's a lot of things that you probably don't have within your home environment. So those are full year-long curriculums where it's like, all right, kids, do that virtually. So what a good article. Nice find.
Yeah. Well, and very interesting that specifically science, but again, makes total sense.
No, it does.
And I wanted to take this time to not do a story, but I have a little message for everybody. And I really wanted to use, and I didn't tell Rachel about this, but I really wanted to use this platform in a way that's really positive. And I think our total overall message here is positivity. And of course, making sure that we give you guys relevant news when it comes to education. But I think more so, as we see in our world, we continually see this constant divide, this ripping apart, this polarization of our country. And I ask you, you know, relative to children, thinking about the future that we actually want, I think it's absolutely so important for all of you out there to please start setting the example for our children in hearing people out, in trying to understand their differences rather than push them away and just categorize them. You know, I think a lot about, of course, I think a lot about the children of our, you know, that we have that is so near and dear to us that we really, really, really need to honor and respect what the future is going to look like for them. Because I don't know about y'all, but I'm a little worried. There's a lot going on. And I think we have, as leaders, as teachers, a dramatic effect on that. And I think if anyone, it's us to really start literally changing the world. And we all know, because we're all teachers, we're all educators, that we can actually do that with the children we teach. So please have a more open mind to others that disagree with you, because that's okay. It's okay that people disagree with you. And in fact, that's what makes the world the world. There's all different types of people with all different types of beliefs. So I've made it a point in my life to really start trying to do that. And I think it's fundamentally important for children to do that as well. Anyway, Rachel, I'm going to let you take to the news, but I just really wanted to put that out there because I think it's really important for our teachers.
I think you're right. I think that that's a really important message. And anytime you want to do a message like that, Garrett, sign me up, because I think one thing we often forget that children are very aspirational creatures. And parents and educators are their biggest inspiration, and we have a lot of power. And modeling is the best way that we can demonstrate how to be a great person. So, anywho's, on to being great people. Boys and Girls Club, good segue. So, friends, hear me out. Something really cool has happened in Indiana. Now, I live in Illinois, so we say things about Indiana a lot. Like, they're Indiana drivers, even though my husband's from Indiana and I was born in Indiana, but still. Indiana is now doing the coolest thing I have ever heard. So I have to pull it up because I want to get the gentleman's name right, because I do not want to miss this at all. So friends, basically what's happening right now in Marion County, the top attorney is deciding to change how they are approaching accused juvenile delinquents. So if you have a nonviolent crime, they are no longer going to prosecute children, teenagers. Instead, they are going to send you to the Boys and Girls Club. Yes, this entire idea of let's go ahead and invest in children, as opposed to just continuing to move the systemic racism that there's incredible program. I am so excited. I love the fact that they're taking it out of their own budget and they're paying the way for these kids to go to the Boys and Girls Club, which is an amazing organization. Garrett, thoughts on this? Because I love it.
I think we're going to see some some really, really positive results from that. Yes. Because again, those are actual teachable moments. You know, rather than suffer from failure, I would rather anyone learn from failure, because that's where we learn the most. And I think what an amazing opportunity for the youth of Indiana to, and who is in government there? I mean, that's such an outside the box idea.
Isn't it? I love it. It's really fascinating that their prosecutor is taking this on. I want to, like, there's this one quote in this article, and I love that I found this in like the Indiana local newspaper. I was like, wait a minute, this is amazing. It's Crumbs. I'm going to put this in the link because this article is really long, but here's the deal. This is a great model program, like you said, and I think this is something that you continue on and on and on. But I have another story. It's summer school, in case you haven't noticed. It's summer school, and it's actually very interesting because due to this last year, this last bonkers of a year, things look a little bit different. What I mean by that is right now, both New York and Los Angeles, for the first time ever, are offering summer school to all of their students. Every student is available to go. And that is not just the only states that are doing that. There are so many states who are extending their programs, offering it half day, full day to all of their students, which is, again, incredible because they really want to make sure that these children have the opportunity to catch up anything that's been lagging. And also at the same time, they're really kind of rethinking about what summer school looks like. It's not desks. It's a little bit of desks, but it's also a whole lot of play. And for example, in Chicago, they are really struggling right now, like many school districts, and I know Garrett's in on this, many school districts are struggling to fill all of these teaching positions because of the fact of, if you're going to continue on this, you need teachers. But here's the thing. So many educators have left this last year. So many educators, as soon as that last day of school hit, were like, okay, I will see you in the fall. It has been hard as hell. I am out. And now they're struggling to find positions. So they're offering something like, here's an additional $200 a week, or here is a pony, or whatever.
They're offering ponies.
I will sign up if somebody offers me a pony. Done.
No, but I, it's definitely happening in my area. They're paying teachers astronomical figures to come in and teach during summer because there is, of course, a gigantic need for summer school. But that doesn't mean, Rachel, that every kiddo goes to summer school. In fact,
no.
Some kiddos, whoops, hold on, I got to bring her back up. That almost worked. Some kiddos, I have to hide this, there we go, go to summer camp.
Ta-da!
And that brings us to tonight's guest. Man, I'm stoked. I don't know about you, Rachel. I'm going to let you introduce our amazing, awesome guest that we're going to have a great conversation about. And I'm not going to put any expectations other than it's going to be the greatest conversation that has ever existed on the face of the earth. Go ahead, Rachel.
Okay, friends, tonight we are joined by, I'm going to go ahead and call him Mr. Summer. His name is Michael Garcia. He is all things summer. He's all things joy. He's all things kids. He's all things play. And I've had the pleasure of knowing Michael now for well over a year. And I just find him to be not only just a ray of sunshine in my life, but knowing that there are some incredible kids on the East Coast that get to have Michael in their life, I am jealous. Michael, welcome to the Teacher's Lounge.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I want a pony too.
Yes.
Ponies for all.
Ponies for all. I mean, unicorns would be amazing, but I'll settle for a pony. That would be awesome.
I'm telling you, man, if unicorns were real, narwhals are real.
They are.
I mean, listen, that's the unicorn of the sea.
That's what happens. That's what happens.
Yeah. They all go to the water.
I'm out.
Anyway.
All right.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And the first thing that we always ask our guests is an origin story. So you are sitting here. You're represented by a phone. I don't know why. You got here with a whole backstory. And we want to hear how you got into the field you're in, which I'm going to let you tell everybody. So just give us a little bit of your origin story, please.
Yeah, I mean, so I grew up and my dad was a Navy guy and worked at, you know, in very technical things. And I kind of had that brain. So I always wanted to be in the military when I was a kid. And so I planned my whole life to just come out of high school, join the Army. He was a Navy guy. At least he said not the Marines. So that was his. But, you know, it really was impactful. My mom said, you know, you got to go to school for 1 year. You got to try college for 1 year. I'm the first person in my family, my direct family, to graduate from college. So, I went to 1 year of college, and then I was like, great, I'm going to take a year off. I'm going to just go back to work at the YMCA, you know, play with kids but really use it for a membership to get physically fit to be ready to be in the Army, because that's what I wanted to do. And about late May, I engaged with a recruiter and I did what was called delayed entry. So I wasn't supposed to report to Fort Sill, Oklahoma, the day after my 21st birthday. And so I was super excited, but I made a commitment to the camp to be one of the assistant directors. So that was fine. My mom had a massive kidney renal failure and needed an emergency kidney transplant. And of all her children, I was the match. And so that summer, I went through the whole process, a bazillion million, that's a technical term, tests. And I was a match. I was like a really good match. And so in mid-August, I ended up donating my kidney. And the military said, that's amazing. You can't be in the military. Yeah. So
you need to.
Well, you know.
Do you though?
There's a percentage of people who are born with. Okay, I'm not going to get into that. Okay, never. So anyway, that's all I got. And so, so I didn't know what I was going to do. And so, about 2 weeks after the operation, my mom ended up passing away. The kidney took, but it was a lot for her to take on her heart. So, I fell into a backup job. Right, I fell into a place that. When my mom passed, I was sitting in the funeral home and every camp counselor, assistant director, executive director, CEO came to that funeral. They never met my mom. They didn't know who she was, but they came and respected me. And I really sat there on the couch, you know, and going through this whole service and just having people come in. And then I got in my car, and in the trunk of my car was garbage bags full of notes of children. And I was like, that's it. Right. Like that's home. That's family. That's where we are. And so I started going back to work, I was a lifeguard. I was a preschool teacher. Yes, I was a preschool teacher, Rachel, for about a year and a half. And one of the most amazing things in the world happened to me. I met my wife, and that was it. I spent 27 years in the YMCA, currently working for another nonprofit summer camp organization up here in Buffalo. That was all in Connecticut, but now I'm up here in Buffalo. And I say it all the time. Camp changed my life. And that's really what it did to me. And so that's kind of my little origin story there.
Wow, that's
twists and turns and drama. And
I love it.
There's a movie coming out next year.
I was gonna say, starring Michael.
Well, yeah. I mean, let's get somebody better looking, Mike. But you know, that's really like us. You know, Brad Pitt can grow a red beard, right?
Brad Pitt as Michael Garcia.
There it is. Yeah.
Michael, yeah, I love your story because it just radiates what camp is. So here's the deal. Mm-hmm. If you have been a camp counselor on this show, raise your hand. Okay. I have the least amount. I was a like day camp counselor when I was 15 to 18. So,
that's the best time.
Rachel, don't knock that, because if I get a staff person for 3 years, right? Like, I mean, the average is like
they
one
told
or two.
Me I played all day. Like, I was like, sign me up. Like, I am there.
That's how I describe my job. I get paid to play with children.
I love it. I love it. And what I love about, and I wanted to ask you this, is there is a piece, right, to the camp culture, which is a great way to describe it, that's theatrical, right? Like, I would imagine that at your camp, there's a morning gathering or a morning meeting and everybody gets together and you're doing the shtick, right? And the shtick becomes part of that camp thing. Now, did you, one, have those experiences of leading that, you know, meeting every morning? And then two, have you developed almost bits and routines that you go through, right?
Yeah. I mean, so I self-identify as an introvert. And most people who know me are like, I don't necessarily see that. But the people who really know me are like, yeah, like I'm a homebody. I'd stay at home. I'm an introvert. I'm quiet. I listen to podcasts. I sleep on a hammock, which I'm thinking of going. I'm thinking of going pro in 2022. But, you know,
dude, I love it.
I'll be your sub.
No, that's it. Yeah,
are we talking Canadian hammocks? Are we going U.S. standard?
Listen, you got to diversify. You got to.
Oh, I got it. Okay.
You gotta do what you got to do, you know, to get by. And, but like my job is to be out there and that, and in the beginning, you know, it was easier and then, you know, it gets harder because there's a line of being, you know, the camp director and being the role model of importance. And, but then also like, I mean, I have a dragon costume, a dinosaur costume that I rock every week, you know, and 'cause on Friday Shabbat, it's the dinosaur song and I'm in there as long as it's not 100 degrees. I'm in that dinosaur costume dancing around and being there because it's also important for children. And when I say children, it's not just the kindergarten through 10th grade campers. It's the 16, 17, 18, and I apologize, but 19, 20 and 21 year olds to see a 46 year old person engaged in fun, in play, in life-altering experiences. And if one kid can see me dancing in a dinosaur costume, or me in tomorrow I'm getting my nails painted by my kids, or me in my tutu running around crazy, and they could say, hey, that's okay for me to do too, that's okay for me to identify with that, I'm all for it. You know, I'm down, and that's really what it is. So I, you know, camp counselor, professional role model. That's really the job for me. So
very true. And it gives kids it takes away that fear of growing up. You know, I think when you can kind of, you know, do that role, cause I think I definitely live that kind of same role. I'm kind of culture guy. I mean, I own schools, and so I kind of have to be the brand ambassador, right? Mm-hmm. So I go around, but I think what's so nice about that is I get to be playful just like you. And with that, there it kind of gives kids the understanding that you can go and posture that way, but then still go, you never have to grow up. You never have to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's crazy that we teach children playing is for children.
I know.
Like, that's insane. It's insane. Play, but now it's, I mean, I don't know about you, but the time to put away your toys and grow up. Why?
Like, yeah. Why?
I learn through play every day. And that's what we do. I mean, we've talked about this, Rachel, is like, this is the opportunity to affect the life of another human being.
100%.
And they're going to learn so much more when they, you know, dirt don't hurt and they're going to get grimy. And you know what? A little cut on their arm is okay because they're going to remember that opportunity and that moment that they got to experience. And that's just really, that's a really important part to me. You were talking about science and the pre-stuff, and like, we have science in our program. We have nature. Awesome. I have a nature specialist who brought in her red tail hawk today. I mean, like we really like dive into what we're supposed to do. And when we hired our new science specialist, she's like, well, what can I really do? And I said, man, if you're not blowing stuff up every day with baking soda and vinegar, you're doing it right. And she's like, can I? She kind of got excited. 2 days later, man, I had inbox Pinterest things that she wanted to do. And I'm like, yeah, go nuts. That's it.
That's what you want, right? Yeah. You want somebody stoked like that to not. Yeah. And if they're excited, the kids are excited. Simple
it's
as
so
that.
Funny. I think that, and I know, Michael, I'm sure we've talked about this, and I know you'll agree. We need to just reverse everything. Like, school needs to be like camp. Because the amount of information that children retain in those 3 months.
From camp.
The resilience, the social component, the learning through play, again, how children learn best. It's this idea of, Garrett and I frequently talk about, what is the future of education? What does the future look like, especially in retrospect of what's happened over this last year? What have we learned? What do we want to take away from it? And we will always pull these articles that are like, play, children need this. And it's like, okay, you're saying it. We're on the cusp of it. But I love this idea. Like, it should be camp.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's no reason why a high level educational program doesn't have play in its existence. And so like, there's other countries that do it. I'm probably well more versed than I am on this, but like, I remember as a kid, back when I was a kid, but when I was a kid, you know, I grew up working on a farm, right? We were farm kids. I was a dirty farm kid. That's just the way that life happened. And so for me, play wasn't an option to be inside. Play was outside. Play was having a pocket knife in my hand and whittling something. And
yep.
Play,
yep.
And we're so cautious because of this protective, inappropriate culture, in my opinion, that we need to protect them and they need to be able to have, you know, trigonometry at junior year of high school. Because I've used trigonometry in my job. You know,
I too am frequent at trigonometry.
Goose Egger.
This thing is the worst and best thing for our world that we're in, right? It really is. It's just those opportunities to engage in different ways. And because if you think if I was 14 and this existed in 1980, when I was 14, I wouldn't have it and wouldn't be obsessed with it. You're wrong. So don't blame the kids, you know, work with it, work within the parameters. I no longer make my staff leave their cell phones off.
You don't?
I don't either. I don't
Stop
either.
It.
We have an internal communication system, GroupMe. We all talk. We all are. Yep. It's what sets us apart.
We talk. We set parameters, right? Like if
100%.
Rachel, I'm going to trust Rachel at 15 years old with the life of another human being, I can trust Rachel not to take a photo and snap it. That's what I need to do. And
because
if
you tell them that.
What?
You tell them that. You set that expectation.
Oh, yeah.
And listen, but listen to this. In process, in running a business, right, and running a childcare business, which I do, my team instantly shares information. Instantly. I get it. Group me. I tag them. They get it. Boom. It's done. I need a document. It's right here on your phone. Boom. Find it. Send it. Like, that to me is far more efficient than having someone step out of the classroom, having to find someone to then replace that person to keep licensing ratios, that person traveling down the hall, talking, BSing by the water cooler, coming back. I mean, do you see what I'm saying here? It makes a much more efficient
experience. It
does. Experience.
I realize now that I'm really proud of my teachers at school because of the fact of they have phones for documentation, but I've never seen them on their phones for any other reason because they're so busy with the kids.
Well, that's what happens.
Like, but yep. I'm like having this moment of like, wait a minute, y'all are right.
And I'll be honest, I'm the outcast camp director. We've never done it that way before, which is the exact reason we should think about redoing it a different way. I mean,
like
why are we, because I didn't do it, you know, because I had to work 150 hours a week as an assistant camp director, because that's what it took to get the job done. Where now I leave during my camp day as the camp director, when I need to go buy snack, I leave during the day. I don't go after camp.
That's my boundaries.
That's my time. That's my family. That's my beautiful wife and my amazing. Right. And so, and don't get me wrong, it's not a 40 hour week, but because it's camp and it's the show, but that's the reality of it. When I'm home, I'm home. I'm focused on them. I'm focused on what I should be. How can I keep my mental health safe? How can I make sure that
Amen.
I'm doing what I need to do? Because
I'm learning so much tonight.
I mean, I've had mental health issues in the past couple of months. I've been stressed. It's camp. We ran COVID free in 2020, which was amazing. But we ran a camp of, I'm going to say a small camp of 75 kids a week. I have on average 200 children a week. that's a different game. That's a different show, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. It's so interesting to hear you say kind of, you know, this is a very powerful tool, because, you know, I tell parents a lot that because we have access to things like Google, we have everything that the world's ever known at the palm of our fingertips when we need it. And that's not going away. In fact, it's probably going to get more and more and more sophisticated very quickly. And so because of that, we need to teach kids how to be good humans. That's the important thing to do. And for me, honestly, I think we should be teaching those values and morals because that's what humans should do. And I think, you know, there's other reasons we can attach to that, but I think it's so important that children know that, yeah, that's the overall worldly expectation of you as a being, is to be kind, is to be understanding, is to be empathetic. All of those things that we know are so important. And honestly, why I think all three of us are successful in what we do is I think you're called to teaching because you're tuned into people, right? You're able to kind of understand and read rooms and read people. And I think that's such a, and I think everyone possesses that skill. It's just no one is like you. I keep kind of referencing the things you were saying, Michael, is like, no one's really embracing that in these environments, especially educational environments where it's okay to play. It's okay. Cause that's where we learn all of those social, you know, norms and what isn't norm and outside the norm and all of that.
Yeah. I mean, I use this example for staff training every year. So I want to play soccer. I want to play soccer. I can't stand Garrett. I can't stand him. He's a mean person. I don't like him, but Garrett has a soccer ball. So I have two choices to do, right? I need to either figure something else that I want to do, but I want to play soccer, or I need to negotiate the contract with Garrett. And I need to say, you're kind of a jerk in my head, but coming out, hey, I really want to play soccer. Do you want to kick the ball with me? Do you want to whatever that is? And I need to figure that out. And then I use that example, and then I tell my staff to shut up and let it happen.
Yeah, like just 100%.
It's okay. It's okay for me to say, hey, Garrett, you're kind of a jerk.
If 100%.
Garrett just may be a jerk, right? And that just may be the way it is. But he still wants to play soccer, because juggling a soccer ball by yourself, as someone who loves soccer, that's fun for a while. But now I want to play. Like, I want to interact. That's the point of soccer. That's the point of, and I'm using this as a small microcosm of any sport or activity.
Right.
You have to negotiate that. And they're not going to learn that on this, right? But they're going to learn that because we've set those parameters. You know, I always teach my staff that being a great camp counselor is like being an amazing lifeguard. You're going to make sure they're safe, but the real work is stepping back and be children. And you go from man to man to zone, right? Sometimes you got to go man to man. You got to have that conversation, but then you got to step back and just say, I'm supervising by sight and sound. And so, you know, Rachel's being mean. Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
Lizzie, by the way, she writes, play is the bravest and most gutsy pedagogy.
Yes.
100%. I have chills from that, Lizzie.
Right. As you were saying that, Michael, it's a very Reggio social construct kind of look, kind of take at leadership, which is something, again, we can align on in providing boundaries.
Yeah.
But then allowing kids to do create within those boundaries what this experience is for them.
It's agenda. It's you. You're an adult. You know this. This is their turn.
Yes, God, and you're so right. You know, I've been to so many conferences in my career, and a lot of these are educational conferences, whether they be Montessori or I'm kind of all over the board. I've been to Reggio conferences. I've been to childcare, just CDA standard childcare conferences, NAEYC conferences, some teachers kind of get off on these presentations where they show the control they have over their classroom. That word control, right? Like look at my kids as I bark a word and they can line up super quick. Like
karate chop.
Yes.
You're not in line. Hey, why are we karate chopping kids? Just let them. It's a mob. Listen, you. If all three of us went to a conference and we showed up together, we'd be standing next to each other, walking, bumping into people because you got to learn to negotiate that contract again. So,
because that's what the rest of life looks like.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Like, it drives me absolutely crazy that we, and I can go on a diatribe about this, but that we prepare kids for factory life, you know, like line up. And go this way and then come and all sit down and we're all going to eat now. I'm like, none of that is applicable, right? Other than the control dynamic in actual life. And I've said it for years. And I think, thank God, we're all so wonderfully aligned that like we should be mimicking some real life scenarios and actually doing real life scenarios, you know, where we're putting kids in real life situations because that's where we learn the most. And there's context to what you're teaching. Yep. You know, it can be anything, but I would much rather, like you said, having nature outside, I would much rather have that lesson of whatever it may be with that real thing there rather than look at a dinosaur in a book, right? I'd love to take my kids and do to the Smithsonian and show them actual dinosaur artifacts because there's context. You can talk with experts. You see what I'm saying? So
I think that the key part too of that, though, the transverse side of that, Gary, is that that teacher who got into teaching because of science, if you let them off the leash, they're going to go nuts.
Yeah.
Like they're going to go and you're going to be like, listen, I'm not an educator. I'm not in education in a school structure, right? Like I'm not in that school structure.
That I agree with. That's right? The only part that I agree with.
But like, why do the kids have to stay with the same teacher? Like, I mean, like, why? Like, my science specialist is a nature specialist. Our science and nature specialists.
Yeah.
That's it. And so like, move around, get to know.
Wait. Oh my gosh. I taught second grade for a while and I am not a fan of math. I'm like, you do what you do. You do what you do to make it look like it's great. But the idea of like, I have friends who get off on teaching math who love it. And the idea of like, you want to come to me for literacy? I got you. And then you're going to go to somebody who loves it and makes it their biggest thing in the world. And think about that because you learn so much more when somebody is just overly excited and goes big and puts everything into it and they can explain it in every way that makes sense to a child. Again, I love this. Camp is now the new school.
I love it. That's the movement.
You get them excited too. Like that's the important part. Yes. So like one of my favorite stories I love to tell about camp staff training is we did electives. And so what it would be for a certain groups of kids, they would sign up and the counselors would do something different. We'd mix ages and all that fun stuff. And so during staff training, we do elective planning. And one of the staff, we were like throwing out ideas. I like to do this. I like to read. I like to journal. I like to blah, 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 blah. Go the fill thing. And somebody said, I love Pokemon. And of course, every camp director in the world just went, not those cards. That's horrible. Okay, we'll write it up on the board, Pokemon, and pray nobody picks Pokemon. This 6'3" D1 lacrosse player was the one who said, I like Pokemon. And I'm like, okay, well, game on. What do you got for me? 2 weeks later during an elective, all I see are all my CITs dressed up in homemade Pokemon costumes, screaming, running across the field. And then all of the kids who signed up for that elective running with Pokeballs, chasing them.
Yes.
And then the main counselor is in.
They made a game up.
Oh my gosh. They didn't play Pokemon. These kids all thought they were going to play Pokemon, by the way. And they ended up taking a week of electives and building costumes to just chase the CITs, which, I mean, let's be honest,
is awesome. Coolest
game ever. And so I literally was just like, I'm not doing my job effectively. He's doing it better than I'm doing. And that, so I learned from this 19-year-old to be a better leader because he showed me, I prejudged that Laxbro who's going to go play soccer, he's going to go do lacrosse, and he's going to be sporty McSporty. And as he said at the end, he's like, dude, I'm a nerd and I love it. awesome.
God, I love it. So let me ask you this, because we, you know, unfortunately have to wrap up the show. I know
we'll hang out afterwards. Don't worry.
We love to have little bits and stuff, but I do want to ask you this. Of the summer camp experience for kids, what do you think is the most important thing that a child should, or that a child does? I'm not even going to say should, because you get such a macro look as kind of running the show. You kind of think in that way. What would you say is the thing that kids take away the most from a camp experience?
I'll speak for myself. What I took away is, so I'm the last of five children, three girls, a boy, and then a 4.5 year space. And then this guy came along.
Nice.
So I was the last Garcia. I was my older brother, Frank, who went by Paco. I was little Paco, and I was nothing like that. And so when camp came around, my brother never went to camp. And so I got to go to local park and rec camp program called Recon in New Milford, Connecticut. Shout out. And I got to be Michael.
Oh.
Right? Like I got to be Michael. I got to be who I was. And I can't tell you how many, I have countless stories of children coming up and just being themselves for the first time, not the little brother, little sister, not the little whoever, identifying with their gender for the first time, identifying with who they are. I've had kids say, yeah, my name is Michael, but I want to be called whatever. And I'm like, rock and roll, shark boy, let's go. There's a kid, his name is Coach at one of my camp, at the camp. I don't even know his real name. It's just Coach. I call his mom. I'm like, yeah, I got to talk to you about Coach. Oh, okay. What's up? It's just his name. He's not called Coach anywhere else except this camp. That's God, it.
That's so awesome.
Because that's him. That's him in a microcosm of what he is. And that's how he identifies. And then he goes back to school and he's this little boy, as opposed to Coach, who is this. So I think for me is school prepares kids for college 100%. Camp prepares them for life. And that's really a big part of what we are. How can we affect the change in these tiny humans to make them better humans and better society? I know it's a huge lofty goal, and I thought that's probably all of our goals, but why not go for the lofty goal? It's easy to say I can make a budget. Why not go for changing life?
Amen. Amen. And that being said, I think, first of all, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. I think folks need to hear this. I think the more we can encourage play as education and play in real life and not taking things so damn seriously, everybody out there, the better. Because I think, honestly, there are far more authentic learning experiences from those moments than there are droning out in school. So thank you so much. And Rachel, do you have any last words for Michael before we all jump into just one TikTok?
Yes. One tiny thing. My husband's name is Chris, but at camp, he made everybody call him Ford, and he would get letters. Yes. So nice. As soon as you said that, I was like, that's my Chris. I want to say, Michael, thank you for all that you do. And I love the fact that every year, not only do you have an opportunity to work with children, but those older kids, you are truly a mentor to them. And the idea that Garrett and I are working with our littlest of littles, but there's that demographic that's going to continue to move forward, taking everything that you have taught them. And you're so cool. So thank you for being here.
And camp's the only place that this could be cool, right?
Yes. I love it. All right. So I do have one TikTok video that I found, and this one is actually, it's actually really touching, to be honest with you. So let's take a look together.
That's probably the most frustrating thing about being an educator. You sacrifice so much to these kids, but many of them, when they leave, or they leave and go to the next grade, you don't get to see them 5 years later. I wish so bad that I could find those teachers who saw something special inside when everyone else wrote me off. And if I could just find those few teachers and say thank you, look at me now.
Woo! Why do you always get Rachel crying? You know, I think, and we said this a lot, I think, you know, and we were talking to Michael pre-show about how he worked through the pandemic. And, you know, Rachel has always said too, that, you know, we went from babysitters to frontline workers in a year. And, I think, and hope, as I always say, that, you know, the credit doesn't need to go to me personally, but please look at the teacher of your child, be forgiving, be understanding, be loving, because they need it. And I can speak from experience. I think we all can. While a lot of us were internal at home, there were a lot of us that were very external and really working on a lot of hard issues with kiddos as they fought through this pandemic. So I think for everybody out there, thank you as teachers. We really respect you. Thank you, Michael, for coming on the show.
Thanks.
And we're going to, yeah, we're going to go ahead and end it the way we always do, with the crying Rachel.
All right, friends. Well, we made it. We made it through week one of camp. And I hope you had as much fun as I did. And so go home, get some sleep. Have a great day tomorrow. Have an extra dance party. Maybe wear a dinosaur costume. You never know. And we will see you here next week on Thursday at the Teacher's Lounge. Until then.